This is the Parenting for Faith podcast from BRF Ministries. Parenting for Faith exists to help you help the children and teens in your life to meet and to know God. We do this through online events, courses, and resources, and you can find out more at parentingforfaith.org.
Welcome to the podcast. My name's Lucy Rycroft, your host, and it is an absolute delight to welcome you here today, especially if it's your first time. So if you are new to the Parenting for Faith podcast, welcome. If you have been listening for years, you also are very welcome, but you know that. But I hope what you hear today, you'll find super helpful, entertaining and encouraging. We've got an amazing guest for you today. I say that every week, but that's because it's true every week. We're talking about helping our kids connect with God through art. And honestly, even if your child doesn't think they're good at art, doesn't think they're creative, there will be something very, very special that you can get from this interview, because our guest is really, really passionate about helping all of us to discover our God-given creativity. So I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from her. Now, I don't know about you, our term ends at the end of this week and we are crawling in this household to the finish line. We are so tired. This half term, it's a deceptive one, right? Because it's only been a few weeks and yet there has been so much packed in. World Book Day, we've had Science Day, we've had all sorts of different things going on and we just cannot wait for the holidays to come. I know some of you go through till next week. So if you're feeling like me, if you're feeling slightly tired, then keep going. You can do it. I'm your hype girl. Come on, we'll get there. We'll get to the finish line. And those Easter holidays will seem very, very sweet when they come, won't they? Now, if you're listening to this as a children's, youth or families leader in your church or in a Christian organisation, and you too are just feeling absolutely drained this time of year, I have an exciting proposition for you. And it is our really fun retreat. It's called the Forge Gathering. We run it twice a year. The Parenting for Faith team run it. And it is, I like to call it an anti-conference, because it is not that sort of vibe where you go along and you just kind of get pummeled with all this new information. It is really about community and rest and fun and just having a little bit of breather in the non-stopness of church life. And it is absolutely amazing. Everyone who comes wants to come back because it is very appealing. And we are holding our next Forge near Cardiff at Hebron Hall on the 17th to 19th of April. We still have a couple of spaces if you want to squeeze in there. And we are also holding one in November at Letton Hall near Norfolk. So if you are around, if those places are accessible to you, please sign up, have a little look at the details. I'll put them in the show notes. It would be so, so lovely to see you there. And honestly, you will find them such an invigorating few days. Guys, it is time to introduce my guest. You're going to love her. Here goes.
My guest today is the wonderful Sophie Killingly. Now, many of you may know her as Perish and Fade on social media. She is a freelance artist and has provided artwork for a variety of Christian and secular organizations such as Word Alive, the Bible Society, and the Sensory Projects. She is also a published author, her creative spiritual journal released in 2022. Sophie lives in Surrey with her husband, two teenagers, and her cat, Major Tom. Sophie, I just need to ask you, are there any other Bury references around the home, or is Major Tom it?
I think Major Tom is it, really, because, when we got him, he just seemed like a beautiful cosmic yob. So
it's a wonderful name.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the podcast. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Just share a little bit about your journey into art, because I think I'm right in saying you sort of came to it later in life in terms of as a profession, but was it kind of there in the background all along? Were you an arty kid? How did that develop?
Yeah, so I was always a creative kid. I loved art, but I also loved music and poetry. So my sister was kind of the family artist. She was the one who went to art college. But she was 10 years older than me. So she actually was really great in kind of giving me a good introduction to art. So even though I didn't actually do the art route in school, I was the music kid. I always had like postcards and stuff that she'd send me with like pictures of David Hockney or Renaissance artists. And I was always really into it. And I used to make our own family newspaper, which I would then charge my family members money to read.
Early
so I was always creative, but no, I developed as an artist, as an adult, more because I suddenly realized that what I was doing was actually a thing. I think so many of us kind of think, well, I should be this type of person. If I'm not doing sculpture or fine art, then I can't be doing a creative job. Whereas actually there's such a huge scope within the creative arts for all sorts of sweet weirdness and niche loveliness. So it's something I came to later. I actually studied law, believe it or not, at university.
Polar opposite.
It was, but then I found myself, that was just an extraordinary study in people pleasing, really. But I found myself, all my friends, as were in school, were all the art history students and the drama students and all of the arts. So I was always completely drawn to that. And studied music as a kid up until grade 8 on 2 instruments. So, yeah.
A very kind of weird and wonderful route into art. But I think you're right in that I think the online world has made it more possible for artists to kind of branch out and succeed in different areas of art. Like you say, it's not just fine art and sculpture anymore. You can do all sorts of things, can't you, and build a following and make it a lucrative income. What about your faith journey, Sophie? How did that kind of develop and kind of how did art interweave with that?
Okay, so it's a tricky one. I mean, I professed faith as a kid, for sure. And I was brought up in a church. But I think it was quite a kind of a strict, high control, semi-charismatic environment. And so for a very sensitive and neurotic kid such as me, I think it was based on fear more than anything. And so it was not until I went to uni that I kind of fell apart spiritually. And I don't think that was because of any lack of love for God, but it was just literal, like, religious burnout. I wanted to please God so much, but I just had really distorted ideas about what God wanted from me. And so much confusion. And often with my art and with my music and all the creative endeavors, I felt a kind of guilt about them because I think in the kind of church circles, I think unwittingly, I think it's possibly the way I received it, but it always felt that like arts and faith were kind of pitted against each other in a sense that, well, you know, we have to be sold out all for Jesus. Mm. And so I felt like my love, my absolutely unstoppable love for all things creative and art, I felt guilty about it. Like, oh, did that mean I wasn't loving God enough? And I think so many times as Christians, we can get misunderstood. I think we misunderstand what it is to have our identity in Jesus, but that doesn't mean our personality. I think identity and personality are two different things.
Yeah.
And so I was very afraid to embrace all of the wonderful gifts I've been given because I kind of mistakenly thought that was kind of somehow betraying my love for God. And it was only in university when God was very gracious to me and when I finally understood grace, and really met Jesus properly, I was able to kind of lean into the gifts and the personality I'd been given so much more. And so then they weren't separated anymore. It just became all about who I'd been created to be.
Mm. That's a fascinating story. Thank you. What about kids who maybe are the sort of opposite to you? Like they don't think they're very arty. They don't, you know, maybe someone's told them they're not very good at art or they just... you know, they're just growing up with this sort of label of they're not the creative ones. Mm. You know, you were sort of the opposite in that you grew up creative, but went on a journey of finding out how that kind of fits in with, you know, that, well, that's God, how God's made you to be. That doesn't have to be like take you away from God in any way. What about a kid who's kind of not thinking that they're very creative? I know one of your things is encouraging all of us that we're made in the image of a creator God. We're all creative. Like what are the ways we can specifically encourage our children in this, in their creativity?
So I think when people tell me I'm not creative, I always kind of say rubbish. I just think you maybe haven't understood what creativity is. It's so many things. It is wide. And also, I was told I was no good at art in school. So although I was creative, I was kind of, you know, doing poetry, music, drama, and I was doing my own art at home. I was told, you know, that I wasn't good in terms of drawing because I wasn't able to kind of produce photorealistic things. And I think that's such a key thing. And I think many people trip up on this, that art is not drawing stuff that looks like stuff.
Yeah.
that's not what art is. It's very wide. It's about expression. And so I would encourage kids to don't worry if you can't produce photorealistic things. That's what cameras are for.
Yeah, like, good point.
Draw what's in your head. Express yourself. Also, don't forget that creativity isn't just drawing and art. It's problem solving. It's cooking. It's making stuff. It's finding solutions. So even if your kid may not feel drawn towards the kind of arts, I bet you can find ways in which they're really creative at finding things that they want to do and solutions. And that may not have occurred to them that that's creative. And I think a really huge thing for parents is really refrain from criticism. Really refrain from that. I just think so many of us as adults can pinpoint moments in our lives where an adult, a parent, a teacher, or a peer may have said something to us and crushed something, some little dream inside of us. And that kind of just causes that just to kind of die off. The inner artist or the inner creative is very fragile. They need encouraging.
Yeah.
And they need just encouraging just to kind of experiment, see what happens when it comes to creating and drawing. So yeah, try not to be critiquing, even if you don't understand it, what they're doing. Try not to be critical, maybe ask questions instead.
That's a good tip. Yeah, we've got a post on our website called Curious Questions, and it's very much that kind of attitude of going in with a sort of curious mindset to what our child respond with, or how they're behaving or what they're creating or whatever. And yeah, I think that's such good advice, Sophie, because when you create art in any or create in any kind of context, it doesn't have to be like, say, visual art, it could be cooking or problem solving or anything. When you create something, that's a little bit of yourself. You're sort of putting yourself out there and being quite vulnerable. So I think it hurts more almost when someone critiques you rather than if they critique, I don't know, the way you perform a very like mundane tasks like the laundry. I mean, maybe there is creativity to be found in laundry. I have not found it yet, but I do feel got at, you know, if somebody criticizes something that I've put heart and soul into, because that's a piece of you. So yeah, that's such good advice. What about the other end of the spectrum, the kids who love to draw, love to paint, love to create kind of art in whatever way, shape or form? Maybe those who are, you know, some of us will have children who are looking at doing this at GCSE, A level, maybe further study, careers, all the rest of it. What are the ways that we can encourage these kids not only to be creative, but to connect with God through what they're doing and what they're creating?
Great question. I think, again, it's being curious as parents, trying to enter into what it is that they find so fascinating. What is their gifting in this area? So it's kind of entering into it. And again, that can be tricky for parents because, as I've said, so many of us will have baggage from the past, feelings of either inadequacy in kind of areas of art or creativity, or maybe even feelings of kind of grief that we didn't actually follow that path and we realize we could have. And that can kind of trigger all sorts of emotions in us as parents. And that can make us kind of, I don't know, perhaps react more aggressively or dismissively towards our kids' endeavors because it brings up something very visceral. So you have to be very careful as a parent, I think, to understand what emotions are being triggered by what your child is choosing and why that is. Mm-hmm. So try and approach their vision for becoming artistic or creative in some way with curiosity. And also don't worry too much, I think, about the idea that art, how can they connect with God through art? I think creativity is just profoundly spiritual. I think, you know, God is a creator. That's the first thing we learn about him. You know, in the beginning, God created. It's a huge thing. And when we create and when we look at beauty and when we explore that, I just think it gives us a bigger picture of who God is. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, are the artists, are they a bit of a dodgy lot? You know, is a bit, oh, I don't know. I mean, of course, there's that in every area and facet of society and career. But I think, you know, exploring art is a very spiritual thing to do. So we don't have to be afraid or separate art and our faith into sacred and secular. I think you know, they intertwine beautifully because our God is a creator God. And to kind of understand more about the beauty of and the gifting that he's given us is a wonderful thing. So I think just try and encourage your kid and try and understand what it is that's driving them.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Right at the start of this podcast season, we looked at connecting with God through music, and we had Samuel Emachuku called Art Music on the show, and he said really similar, actually, that, you know, you can worship God in the performance of a classical piece of music, you know, a piece of music that is not worship music per se. You know, you can do everything worshipfully, and that you don't need to separate out, like, right now I'm worshiping and now I'm going to play my grade eight piece. You know, it is all worship. It is all glorifying our creator.
Yeah, it is all worship, absolutely. And I think, again, it's important for us as Christians and parents to recognize that a piece is not made Christian because someone's whacked a cross on it or put a Christian fish in the corner. You know, that's not what makes it Christian. You know, that it just, the act of creation, I think, is an act of faith in itself. It's what God does. And to get to kind of be a kind of under or co-creator is an incredible thing to do. It's, you know, it's profound.
That's so good. Yeah. Act of creation being an act of faith. Yeah. I love that. Thank you. I think I'm going to adopt that as my mantra for the next few weeks.
I actually have a massive canvas with art as an act of faith in my living room, which I did many years ago with my kids. Yeah. So it's massive. I put the lettering down and then gave them loads of tubes of paint and glitter, and they went crazy on it.
And that in itself is an act of faith, just right there, Sophie.
It literally was. I was like, is the whole thing going to be just like a greeny brown at the end of it? I don't know.
Is my house going to be covered in glitter? Yeah, great. I'm in awe. Well done, you. I want to just slightly change tack a little bit. We've been talking about being creative, sort of creating art in whatever way, shape or form. But I'm just really aware that whether or not we spend much time engaging in making the art ourselves, we are confronted with so many images all the time, so much art around us, whether that's a billboard that we pass when we're driving, or, you know, we might take our kids to a gallery or a museum and see art there, historical art, things that we see online. There's so much art that we see and with our children. And it just struck me that maybe this can kind of be a way that we connect with our children and connect them to God in terms of interpreting, responding to this art. Like, have you got any suggestions for how we can kind of do this in a way that can sort of help our kids along with their faith journey?
Yeah. So I think it's always good to kind of be a critical observer, I think, of any art, anything that's communicating to us, which is everything. So it's always good, I think, to kind of try and understand what, when something is being presented to me, a piece of art or a piece of advertising, you know, which is a form of art, what is it saying? What worldview is it trying to promote? What is it assuming that I think about the world? You know, so I think, you know, those are always good things to kind of try and get your head around and ask the kids, what do they think are the kind of underlying assumptions? But I think, again, with art, perhaps, like, visiting galleries itself or interpreting art for the kids, I think people can be feel a bit fearful, because sometimes it's not easy to understand. Mm. So with parents and helping their kids kind of interpret the art around them, I think, be honest, if you don't get something or it feels beyond you, you can say that. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing is to not shut down communication with your kids. So don't dismiss things that you don't understand. Mm. If there's art that you're confused about, you don't have to be like, well, that's rubbish, or my 5-year-old could have done that. That's a favorite.
Yep.
Don't dismiss it. I mean, you don't have to have like a monologue, like didactic moment with your child saying, well, that's a picture of a stream, but have you tasted the living water? it doesn't have to be that, but just trying to kind of cause conversation between you and your child rather than limit it is a really good thing. You want to kind of spur it on and encourage, ask questions. Again, it's that curious mindset. And again, art can have that very strange effect on people where people go to a gallery and see some modern art and it makes them angry. You know, they get cross.
Yeah.
They really do. I've seen it. Mm. You know, and it's, again, it's a mixture of their own baggage and feeling slightly like they don't understand something. And we often fear what we don't understand. And, you know, it's okay for parents to be like, I don't get that. Mm. But what do you think it's saying? Or what do you like about it? Or what do you think this is trying to kind of tell us about the world or what the artist was thinking?
Yeah, and when we do that, I'm always really surprised and amazed really by what my kids and teens come up with, because they don't have the baggage that I have. They're not coming to that piece of art with like the sort of preconceptions and ideas and things that are sort of swimming around my head and maybe confusing me a bit. They're just coming with quite an innocent, like taking it at face value. This could mean this. And one thing I love about art is that there are many ways to interpret it, and there's no wrong interpretation. And I think, again, that can be a sticking point for our children who like to get things right. You know, some characters in particular more than others like to get things right. Some of us as parents like to get things right, you know, but there's no right answer when it comes to how you respond to a piece of art. Actually, there's nothing wrong with art making you feel angry as long as you acknowledge that and validate that and maybe kind of ask yourself that question. Well, why do I feel this anger? Where's that coming from?
Absolutely. And I think it's interestingly, I think that's why many Christians and evangelicals perhaps can find art so threatening, because we like to have clarity in what we believe, and rightly so. But I think when it comes to other forms of communication, they're like, well, why didn't it just tell me what it's thinking?
Yes.
We prize clarity. Mm. But art isn't exactly about that. It's exploring many things, and it raises sometimes more questions than it answers. But I also think that's profoundly like Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, actually, Jesus is asked so many questions and he answers very few. He usually asks questions in return, you know, and I think that's what art does.
Absolutely. I was going to say that actually throughout the Bible, yes, we like clarity as Christians, and particularly maybe evangelical Christians, but throughout the Bible, there's a whole lot of stuff which is open to interpretation. You know, think
absolutely
about the poetry books, you know, and the Psalms and, Song of Solomon or Lamentations or something. You know, so much very rich imagery which deserves kind of meditation and pondering and which people could come at from different angles, and actually the same person could look at the same scriptural passage. We know, because this happens to us often, doesn't it? When we read the Bible, you can look at the same scriptural passage, you know, one year and the next year, and what you're taking from that is very different because you're in a different place and God's speaking to you differently. So the Bible, scripture itself, is so creative in that.
Absolutely.
Sophie, Well, yeah, this has been so good, so fascinating. Thank you. Just one more question. I wanted to sort of link this in with our key tools here at Parenting for Faith. So one of our key tools is about unwinding wrong or often kind of not necessarily wrong, but like lopsided views of God, where we've maybe absorbed something from the Bible, but then sort of expanded on that and suddenly God is this angry God, or God is this very busy God, or God is too distant, he doesn't hear us, or whatever it is. How do you think art can, kind of a two-sided question really, A, sort of contribute to some of these wrong views of God, but B, also maybe challenge us where our views of God have become distorted and kind of help us to like broaden out into a more sort of biblical and more true picture of who God is?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there's kind of the obvious with the kind of the distorted views about God or Jesus is in that so much of our white Western art has completely racially incorrect Jesus.
Yep.
Where he is blonde and looking too angelic. It kind of takes away his humanity, and he seems to be kind of walking around with a perpetual kind of, you know, like peace sign, and you know, so there's a lot which kind of makes Jesus white and too angelic, takes away from his humanity the fact that he was a man, he had friends, he ate, he laughed, he fished. So there is that, you know, and again, a lot of kind of religious art in the past has tended to focus, I think, a lot on kind of fear-based kind of images of God. So, you know, can be adding to the kind of just the angry, wrathful God element. But so, you know, I think, you know, art has contributed to that. But I think art really helps in terms of giving us a fuller picture of God and the world. And I think often we misunderstand what that is. Often we think that art has to be nice or beautiful in order to teach us something, or actually it doesn't. And the Bible shows us that. So many of the most meaningful passages in, say, Psalms are dark and anguished because that's what the world is. It's a dark place at times. You know, there is beauty, and by looking at beauty, that's a brilliant and beautiful thing, because then when we talk about God, our kids have a better kind of framework of reference of what is beauty, but also what is like ugliness and what is hard and harsh and what has sin brought to the world. And we see that with injustice and all the terrible things happening in the world today. And I think art is really good because sometimes it shows just harsh truth and reality. And sometimes we look at it and go, well, that doesn't make me feel good. But it doesn't mean it can't teach us something. You know, some of my own abstract art pieces I painted in an extremely difficult emotional time of life, and I felt like I couldn't pray very well, but I felt like my angry brushstrokes were prayers. And the pictures may not have been the most pleasant to look at, but they were a raw outpouring of how I felt to God and what the situation was, you know. And I think if we give space for art to do that, to be both beautiful and ugly, then we're really kind of allowing a fuller picture of what the world is, and then how beautiful God is in contrast to the ugliness of what we deal with. So I think, you know, art can be such a great tool for giving us a full picture. And if we only look at things which make us feel nice or look aesthetically pretty, I think, you know, we're possibly missing out there. And yes, it can be a little scary to engage with things that make us feel less than comfortable, but it's also really profound and necessary.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I love that idea that art paints a fuller picture of who God is, and that's something that we want for ourselves and our kids, of course, as they grow up. This has been brilliant, Sophie. Thank you so much for all your wisdom and your experience that you shared with us. And just finally, we love to just give our guests a chance to share anything that they'd like to in terms of, you know, where we can find you online, your book, anything like that. So shoot, what do you want the world to know about you? Well, it's not the people who listen to this podcast, let's be realistic.
Hi, Mum. It'll be my mum. So you can find me at www.perishandfade.com. That is my website where you can find my portfolio and also my web shop where I sell all sorts of things from my abstract prints, as well as some very niche Christian themed art as well. So you can find all sorts of things there and my work in general. And I'm on Instagram and my handle there is again at perishandfade. So I am there. I narrate my life on Instagram, as you know.
I do. So. I love it. It's very much worth following. Go and follow Sophie if you're listening to this. She's super on Instagram. And we'll pop all those links in the show notes as well so that people know where to find you. Tell us a little bit quickly about Draw Near, just because it is awesome.
Of course, yes. So my book, Draw Near, it's a spiritual creative journal. It's undated, so you don't have to feel guilty about, you know, missing days/weeks of reading your Bible. So it's basically there to kind of, it's creatively guide you. So there's space for the weeks, so you can note down whatever it is you're reading at the time, what your thoughts are, your prayers. You can make little lists of prayers that need praying and prayers that have been answered. There's like space to doodle your own kind of scriptures and your own thoughts. But then also each month, there's a little kind of guided creative exercise where I go through a little passage of scripture and then give you some kind of creative points or maybe start you off on a piece of artwork. So yeah, that's Draw Near and that's with a good book company, but you can get it from anywhere online or any good bookstores. Yes,
absolutely. And I have to say, I'm not a journaler at all, but I do have Draw Near and I love it. I love because there's prompts and there's kind of ideas, because if I'm faced with a blank page, I'm like, can't do
absolutely
this, which seems funny because I'm a writer, right? So I don't know why, but I'm not a journaler. That's just not me. But
I think everybody has that fear of the blank page.
Yeah,
I think everybody has that. So that was kind of the idea behind it, was to kind of give people a little way in to kind of start getting into your thoughts and creativity before God.
It's very accessible and I'm really enjoying it. So thank you, Sophie. Right. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. God bless.
You're welcome. Bye.
And our question to spark a conversation with your kids this week is, why did God give us the ability to draw? Why did God give us the ability to draw? See you next week. Take care. God bless.